Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net.
I'm Marty Gentius of Kent State University, and today on Counselor Audio Source, contributing editor Dr. Jeffrey Frieden interviews Ms. Barbara Blackburn, who is the 2005-2006 president of the American School Counselor Association. Ms. Blackburn will speak about how ASCA supports the vital role of practicing school counselors.
Good afternoon, this is Dr. Jeffrey Frieden. Today I'm at the American Counseling Association meeting in Montreal, and sitting with me today is Barbara Blackburn. Barb, as she's finally known, is the president of the American School Counseling Association. She's been a school counselor at Greensboro East High School in Lewisburg, West Virginia, for the last 21 years. She's a published author. She's written many articles for the Guidance Channel, School Counselor Magazine. She's written articles on grassroots advocating for school counselors. She's also been interviewed by NPR and Washington Post. So she's a well-traveled, well-versed person. Good morning. How are you doing today, Barbara?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you today. Let's start off with some easy questions, as I like to have everybody kind of meet each other. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you become a school counselor?
I actually went to school, and like many students, you have a role model that you look up to. And my home economics teacher was my role model. I grew up in a very large family in Clay County, West Virginia. And this home economics teacher took me under her wing. And my school counselor called me into her office one day and said, "What are you going to do when you graduate?" And I had taken a lot of business classes, and I said, "I don't know, you know, be a secretary or something." And she said, "Have I thought about going to school?" And I really had not. I didn't know about financial aid. I didn't know about scholarships. And I said, "Are you kidding? There are still six more kids at home." And she said, "Oh, what if we can get you scholarships and pay for it?" And I said, "Sounds interesting. I'll check into that." So to make a long story short, I went to college, got a degree in home economics because my home economics teacher was my role model. And I became an extension agent working with adults. And I really didn't find it very fulfilling. It was fun. I could be very creative, but I really didn't feel like I was making an impact on society. And it was really important to me that I do that. So I looked at some other programs. I took some ed classes and found them rather boring and decided that wasn't what I wanted to do. And I took a school counseling class and immediately fell in love with it, and it became my passion.
And here you are 21 years later, leader of the Free American School Counseling Association. How does one get from, let me back up a little second. As a school counselor, I know that we're on the front lines and we're working with the principals and the districts and all the issues that go along with that. We want to change things, and there's different ways of changing things. You've chosen your method by becoming the president of the American School Counseling Association. What motivated you to become the president? Obviously, there are certain steps along the way, but not everyone becomes a president of such a big division like what you've got now. How did you decide to become the president?
Well, just a little historical background. At my school in West Virginia, I spent a lot of time building a comprehensive program. And there was a bill called Senate Bill 320, which was a good bill, and there were lots of good things about it. But part of that bill started the WEVA system, which is the West Virginia Educational Information System. It's a statewide computerized system that data, demographic data, test scores, immunization records, schedules, everything pertaining to a student is fed in. And so the State Department can actually access data about individual schools, the state, and it's a great concept. But when this bill was enacted, they did not think about who was going to feed the data in. And in most school counselors' contract, one of the lines is, as other duties assigned by administrators. So our role was not clearly defined. So they thought, well, the school counselors can do this. And so when my administrator came in and said, this is what I need you to do, I said, which programs do you want me to stop doing? And so we talked about groups. We talked about all of our students do portfolios. We do a lot of classroom guidance, financial aid workshops. And then he was like, you're right. Your time is more valuable than that. You're not a clerk. But a lot of school counselors did not stand up and say, you know, I have a master's degree in school counseling, and I'm here to meet the needs of my students. So at fall conference, there were rumblings about, you know, complaining about we're going to have to do that. And I said, no, we're not. We need to advocate for ourselves. So I became a passionate advocate for school counseling in West Virginia and passed, was instrumental in getting our state law, our state code passed to require comprehensive guidance program and clearly define the role of the school counselor. The national model is in the language, and every school counselor in the state of West Virginia is now required to implement national model programs, and it's inappropriate to do things such as being a clerk and that kind of thing. And
let me ask you a question, because I know we're mm-hmm. in a different direction almost here, but you mentioned your state law states that each school counselor is required to implement the school model. If a school counselor does not implement the model, are there consequences, or is this a suggestion with no teeth in this law, or is there actually consequences in this law?
Well, actually, we're working towards that, and there is going to be teeth in the policy. We have worked with the Office of Educational Performance Audits, and now actually when schools are evaluated, the administrators are going to be held accountable for their schools having national model programs. So, yes, there is some accountability in it, and that's just with this new phase of evaluating schools.
The reason I ask this question, because in my state in Tennessee, we have a similar rule where there are school counselors, but yet I still get mail that says guidance counselor, and I've got to write back to the association or the school district, say there are no guidance counselors in this office. You know, please resend this so they know who I am.
Right.
And we also have the Tennessee State Board of Education says that these are school counselors. We support the national the model. But then again, I think we also have the same issue with administrators that school counselors do as administrators see fit. We're looking to try and put teeth into our law. And I'm sure a lot of states are doing the same thing. Now that we've gotten a model, mm-hmm. a national model, which has been a major breakthrough, I think, for school counselors, is getting teeth put into that law. How do you guys in West Virginia, how is your association advocating for this? And I ask this in a multifaceted type question. In other words, is it a question of finding a legislator to promote your bill? Is it a question of writing letters? Is it how are y'all putting teeth into this bill?
Well, of course, getting the bill passed, of course, was done through, you know, a lot of advocacy with legislators. And then advocacy with the Department of Ed to align the state policy with that. So it's a continuation of advocacy really with the state board. The state board is the one that has authority over the school system. So we're actually presenting to our state board, again, working with the Office of Educational Performance Audits.
So your State Board of Education is also advocating for school counselors.
Yes.
So you've got a united front.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But back to your original question of how that led me, or what led me
to become
president. The work in my state caught attention from other folks, and I was encouraged to become part of the national leadership team. And so I first ran for secondary vice president and won. And so I served on the board for 2 years as secondary vice president, bringing the perspective of secondary school counselors to the board. And while I was on the board, I guess my passion and continuation of work to advocate for the school counseling profession, I was asked by board members and other folks to run for president, and I did, and I won.
Ta-dun.
And here I am.
And here you are years later. I want to go back for a second and talk about legislation for a little bit, if I could, because it really is a good topic and one we didn't really prepare that much for. But if I could ask about West Virginia to compare.
Sure.
Percentage-wise, what percentage of school counselors in West Virginia actually belong to either ASCA, ACA, West Virginia Counseling Association? What percentage do you think of counselors belong to a professional association?
In the state of West Virginia, actually, our percentage is probably low. We're the 47th lowest paid teacher salary in the nation. And so people, you know, kind of hold on to their money. And the old alliance with the CA, the Counseling Association, we have kind of realigned our relationship with them. We have formed the Mountain State Counseling Alliance, which consists of the presidents and president-elects of the West Virginia Counseling Association, West Virginia Licensed Professional Counselors, West Virginia School Counselors, and all of that. So you do not have to belong to your CA in order to belong to your SCA. And this is a fairly new transition. So a lot of folks are confused about which one to belong to. And I would say a good number belong to one organization or the other. I don't know. Maybe 40% or something.
So you think they belong? The question of which one they belong to. Mm-hmm. What about the? And I'm going to assume it's the West Virginia Education Association, NEA, that represents the school counselors and teachers and advocates for them on a national level and on a state level. We have Tennessee Education Association,
right? And we have WVEA.
How is your relationship with them? School counselor-wise?
Good. We also have West Virginia American Federation of Teachers. Mm-hmm. Program and they're becoming a bigger voice in the state. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably about 90% of our counselors belong to one or the other. One, because of the liability insurance. Mm-hmm. Two, because of the UNICEF reps. These are reps that represent teachers, counselors, if they need to file grievance or if somebody has filed a complaint against them. So they have that legal representation. However, I see that will probably decrease now that ASCA has our own liability insurance that's included in the membership. We offer $1 million worth of liability insurance. ASCA really has vision, and I see more and more counselors nationally joining ASCA.
And not that this is a commercial for ASCA. I belong to ASCA. Personally, I think ASCA has recently done a pretty good job representing school counselors. I'm a big believer in professional associations, and I think school counselors should belong to school counseling associations. So I think the fact there's liability because I'm in a big city. But I know for the most part, school counselors are not in big cities. There's a lot of rural areas, and there is, when you have four school counselors in the whole district, you need somebody to support you and to represent you. And I think ASCA has done a good job, especially with the insurance. The fact that you're offering services to school counselors, I think, is a good idea. Okay, here's a question that I ask a lot of people. You're the president of ASCA. You're walking through the conference, and you see a brand new school graduate for a school counselor about to go into the field. Mm-hmm. They've graduated, coming to the conference and seeing all the wonderful seminars are offered here. You've got this one chance to convince this person to become a school counselor, to become a member of the American School Counseling Association. What would you tell them to convince them to join?
Well, the first thing I would do would be refer them to our website. I would talk about how important it is for them to network with other counselors. And one of the things that I really like about ASCA is we still have state leaders listserv, and we used to have level listservs like elementary, middle, junior, but now we have switched those to bulletin boards because they're just a lot easier to manage. And this is an opportunity for these young counselors to network with experienced counselors. For instance, if they're doing their practicum or internship in a school, or they're a school counselor for the first year, and they're wanting to start a certain program and they don't know, you know, what resources are available or best practices, you know, what would be the best resources to use for their program, they can network with other school counselors across the nation. And through these listservs, folks share PowerPoint presentations, videos, books, great resources, and provide support to each other if they're having a difficult time dealing with a student who's cutting, for instance, and they've tried every approach that they normally try and that doesn't work. They can, you know, share best practices, what works, what doesn't work. And I would also talk about, you know, that through ASCA there are many, many free resources that you can download on the website. And, of course, I'd talk about the liability insurance. But I think, you know, our resources, you know, when I started as a school counselor, I would have loved to had ASCA. Mm-hmm. Basically, I walked into my office and I had very few resources. And for these young counselors, ASCA is the only way to go because they have all those resources available at their fingertips.
Once you're out of school and you're working for real, there's no A's and B's. It's a question of it's right and you're doing fine or it's wrong and there's a lawsuit or a child at risk or or an angry parent 7 o'clock at the door in the morning at your door want to know what's wrong with her little baby.
Mm-hmm. And and the national model, you know, they can download a lot of the national model information free to support their program.
As a school counselor, in my professional experience, there always seems to be one time or one incident that stands out that kind of makes this all worthwhile because we're all working too long hours. We've got our caseloads are too, our number of kids are too big. There's always one thing that kind of stands out that says, okay, I'm glad I'm a school counselor today. What's that story for you?
Well, there are all kinds of stories. I guess I really like to hear the long-term success stories of students that I've worked with. Just recently at our College Day program, one of the college reps, as I was going around introducing myself, you know, and welcoming them to Greenbrier East High School, one of the reps is like, oh, I'm so glad to meet you. I've heard so much about you. And I said, you have? And he's like, yes. My wife, Lisa, you were a very young counselor. She had no goals. She had no idea what she was going to do with her life. And you inspired her, worked with her. And she has a PhD now, and she said none of this would have happened had it not been for you. So those kind of stories that it's hard to collect data on those, on the long-term effects of school counseling. But when you hear that you have, that she planned, kind of like me, just to go to work after high school and would have probably stayed in Greenbrier County. So she has traveled all over the world and you know, basically she said that I have opened up a world to her that she never would have known.
Those are always good stories. I think hearing stories about our success stories are always good because our bad stories come back to haunt us too.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the American School Counseling Association's biggest strength?
Oh, the ASCA national model is huge. I mean, it has put school counselors on the map. It has defined our role as a school counselor. It's given us the ability to speak with one voice about what it is that school counselors do. And it's given us a framework to train all school counselors. And because of the national model, other stakeholders in education are really looking to school counselors. It has taught us how to be leaders, advocates, and to shape our program.
Well, now we know why, how strong ASCA is. What's ASCA's greatest weakness at this point in time?
You know, I thought about that question. And I guess, you know, like many associations, I guess maybe public relations, just getting the word out that we're not doing as good a job with that as we could do.
We're great school counselors. We're lousy advocates.
Right.
We advocate for our kids all the time, but we just do a poor job for ourselves.
And I would also like to say another strength is our national leaders are very visionary. I really see no personal agendas, from the ASCA board that I work with. Everyone is all about advancing school counselors. And we have a great manager. Richard Wong, our executive director, is very good at what he does. And, working the board and Richard working together with a true vision for what needs to happen in school counselors is really a huge strength.
When you have an executive director, they're pretty much considered driving the ship exercising the mandate that's given to them by the governing board.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How does that work as far as a president concerned? Because I know you come with the ranks of president-elect or chair-elect. Eventually, one day you're president, you're there for 1 year. Okay. How do you deal with an executive director that's been there for a while, that's fairly strong, that does a good job? How do y'all interact with each other as far as, do you come up with an idea, Richard, I think we need to do this, or are you just report to him what the board has requested? Or how do y'all work together? What's your relationship?
Actually, we operate as a board by developing a work plan. So, you know, the reason a lot of organizations don't succeed is because every year the president, if you have a new president every year, the president comes in with their own theme.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And with ASCA, we have a long-term work plan, and the board's job is to really look at that work plan and look at where we need to go, what needs to stay, you know, what do we need to really focus on to move the school counseling profession along. So our role as a board is to be visionary and to give our executive director the guidance that he needs, and then turn it over to him, because that's his job. We have hired him to do a job. I'm not an expert in organizational management. He is. So if we say, for instance, when we developed the RAMP program, our direction to him was that we want a way to recognize school counseling programs that have implemented the national model. So Richard and the staff and experts in the field that he consulted with came up with the RAMP program. Now, we don't micromanage. We don't get in and say, oh, we don't like the color of that or this or that. That's his business. And everything he's done, we've been pleased with. If we get to the point where we're not happy with his work, then, the board, can say, okay, Richard, that's it. But as long as he's delivering what we're asking him to do, then we do not micromanage. When we turn something over to him, we turn it over to him.
He runs with it.
And he runs with it.
I've met him a couple of times. I find him to be a real charming, smart person. So I would think that ASCA is in good hands mm-hmm. with him. So then you would say then more or less president and executive director are caretakers for mm-hmm. what the membership has decided on doing.
Absolutely. And we consult. And any big issues, we're on the phone with technology. I don't have to go set up camp in the ASCA office. Mm-hmm. We email, talk about any big issues. And depending on the issue, we decide if that's a decision the two of us can make or if we need to have the board involved in mm-hmm. any decision related to the association.
Now that you have an inside look of ASCA and you have the background of what went on in West Virginia, where do you see two things? Where do you see ASCA in, say, 10 years, and what direction should they be going?
Well, ICS is a powerful force in the education world because our framework, the ASCA National Model Framework, works with the whole student in school in academic development, career development, personal social development, and we have the skills to help students overcome barriers. And we've finally learned that, you know, people really, they like to know how many groups we ran and how many classroom guidance lessons we did. But so what? So what we are teaching counselors to do is to continually evaluate their school counseling programs, look at the data in the school. Don't do the same thing you've always done just because you've done it, but find out, you know, are some groups of students achieving better than others, and to work where the needs are and to build your program around that. And when you implement a program, then you look at such things as, did the student's attendance improve? Did their, you know, behavioral problems go down? Did their academic achievement improve? And we're answering those questions, and our data is showing that school counselors indeed impact student achievement by the programs that we're doing. So I see, you know, school districts hiring more school counselors because they're advancing student achievement. So ICS is being very powerful, and one of the items in our work plan is to realign counselor education programs, and we're working very closely with the KCRAP, which is the accreditation body for school counseling programs, to realign the way school counselors are trained. So all the pieces of puzzle are coming together. We're looking at developing a national curriculum that's developmental and comprehensive. So I see school counselors and the school counseling profession as being a very powerful force in the education world.
Two final questions. One, if you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
Oh, I would be a lion, I think. I'm a Leo, for one thing. But I think lions are very majestic. They can be very powerful and strong, but they can also be, you know, very beautiful and peaceful. And I think you have to have a lot of, diverse traits to your personality, your leadership, and you have to be soft when that's necessary, but you also have to be strong as a leader. And I really like one of Colin Powell's quotes is, leadership is, and this is not an exact quote, but leadership is usually positive, though sometimes it can be not so much fun. Sometimes you have issues.
It's tough being at the top, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Because you, it's interesting being a lion and being the president, because I know being president of my state association, and everybody's had opportunities to do different things, but you're responsible for state laws and why my room air conditioning is too cold. So responsibility is tough being the top.
Actually, I think that quote was, leadership is usually pleasant, though sometimes unpleasant. And I will say that I have had a lot more pleasant experiences than unpleasant, although there have been some difficult tasks that we have to deal with as leaders.
One last question. Not wishing ill will, but on your tombstone, what would it say?
I think it would say that I was a passionate leader, a caring person, an innovator, and a friend. to all.
That's, I'm going to steal that from you. So that's pretty good. Thank you very much. This brings a conclusion and to our today's interview with Barb Blackburn, President of the American School Counseling Association. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
You've just heard an interview of Ms. Barbara Blackburn, current president of the American School Counselor Association, by contributing editor Dr. Jeffrey Frieden. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.